So today I'll be concluding a two-part series entitled "Tis the Season." It was 2 weeks back that I did the first part, and I'm doing the second part today. For those of you who weren't here, I'll do a quick recap for you. So the topic, as you can see, is "Tis the Season," and we looked at the word "tis," which in the old English word is one of those apostrophe words, you know, like "it's" and "I am" with the apostrophe. It means "it is" or "this is." And yeah, the phrase comes from a very famous Christmas carol, "Deck the Halls with Boughs of Holly." Fa la 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 la, la 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 la. "Tis the season to be jolly," let me hear you say. Fa la 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 la, la 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 la. Amen. So that's where this the title comes from, "Tis the Season to be Jolly." But 2 weeks ago, we also discovered that "tis" is the season not only to be jolly, but also to reflect. And we spoke a bit about that and how important reflection is, especially when you want to grow. You've got to look back to what you've done well and where you've failed, and then tweak things and change things so you can grow going forward. We also looked at the second point, which was this is the season to restrain. We spend quite a lot of time speaking about restraining ourselves, because at this time of the year, it's easy to overindulge or overspend. Amen. More food than we normally have. We spend more money than we have, and we need to be restrained. Amen. And we know that the tempter, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion, seeking for those he can devour. And then our final point 2 weeks ago was that this is the season, or tis the season, to rest as well. So we need to find time at the end of the year to rest, especially if you've been working very hard. So if you haven't put your leave in yet, you should do that as soon as possible. Because we discover that it's actually a biblical principle, something that God actually introduced way back in Genesis when he actually said the Sabbath day will be a rest day. And we know that Jesus, or God, doesn't get tired. He did it so that he can set the standard for us. Amen. So today we're going to do the last 3 points on this particular series. But before we go any further, let's pray. Father, we are so grateful for this time of the year, God. We thank you that you have given us a year, Lord, of busyness, Father God. But you've also created a time for us to just rest, Father God, and just to restrain ourselves, and just to reflect back on the year, Father. We thank you for these wonderful Christmas carols we've been singing that brings joy to our hearts, Father. Yeah, Lord, I want to pray for myself this morning. I pray that every word that I say come from you, and that your people will be blessed by your words. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so this is the season for reflection, for refraining, and for resting as well. But it's also the season for relationships. So this is a good time to invest in those relationships. And here I'm speaking about your direct family, in other words, your spouse, your children, and the people in your household, but also your extended family. So make the time, this time of the year, for your mother, your father, and if you're still blessed to have a grandmother or grandfather, let's go and visit them and spend some time with them as well. Amen. But it's also the time for us to invest in our relationships in God's family, with each other. I don't know how often it happens to you, but like, let's look at the church function we have. So we have a big church function, and I speak to someone that I don't normally speak to, and I think, wow, there's an amazing connection here. And then you think to yourself, and you usually end the conversation with, we must get together sometime. And does it ever happen? Not usually, eh? Now we've got the time, when we're on holiday, to actually invest in those relationships. Amen. We also looked last week at Ecclesiastes chapter 2, which was our book we focused on. So we're going to stick to Ecclesiastes as we continue with the series. But we're going to be jumping from chapter to chapter. So what does our friend King Solomon have to say about relationships? Now, let me just say that I know that not all of us are sanguines. In other words, not all of us get built up or gets energized by being around a lot of people. But I want to also say that God has made us social beings, and we need each other. Amen. We need each other. Let's look at Ecclesiastes chapter 4. So King Solomon says, "Again, I saw something meaningless under the sun." That should sound familiar to those of you who were here 2 weeks ago. Everything is meaningless to King Solomon except God. He says, "There was a man. He was all alone. He had neither son nor brother, so he had no family. There was no end to his toil, yet his eyes were not content with his wealth. For whom am I toiling, he asked, and why am I depriving myself of enjoyment? This too is meaningless, a miserable business." Then he gets to verse 9, which is what I want to focus on. He says, "Two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help him up. Also, if two lie together, they keep each other warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Obviously, in those days, they never had duvets and brick buildings and insulation. In verse 12, it says, though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. So we're stronger together. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. I like that. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. I attended a marriage workshop some years back. And the ministry, that the people that organized the marriage ministry was called Three Cord Ministries. And the gentleman who runs the ministry explained that the reason why they call it three cord ministries is because the one cord is the husband, the other is the wife, and then the third one is God, which makes the relationship a lot stronger. And I think the same for our relationships as well. Our relationship is strong because of God. I thought that was quite cool. Now, I've got another object lesson. I've got a wheel. And if you're wondering why I do all these object lessons, I work with teens. And for some reason, they just seem to relate better to seeing things rather than hearing things. Okay, so this is a bicycle wheel. Not a usual bicycle wheel, but it's a bicycle wheel nonetheless. It's a super duper bicycle wheel. And obviously the wheel of the bicycle has a purpose. What's the purpose of the wheel of the bicycle? It's to take the bicycle from here to there or to move, okay? Without wheels, you're not going to go anywhere. But that's not what I want to speak about. I want to speak about the parts of the bicycle wheel. So essentially we've got the inner part, the middle part, and then the outer part. So in the inside, we have what we call the hub of the bicycle. Now, for illustration purposes, we're going to see the hub as God, okay? So he's in the center of the wheel, holding everything together. Amen. If this hub, and I spoke to the vet, he's an avid cyclist, and I had got some advice from him, and I researched some as well. If this hub is off center, if it's a little bit to the left or to the right, what's going to happen? The wheel's not going to turn like this. It's going to do that. Because it's off-center. So when it gets to the bottom, it's going to be higher and lower. Okay, so it's important that this hub be in the center. And according to the vet, he says to me, if that hub's off-center, you're not going to get very far before the bicycle wheel starts breaking off and you can't go anywhere. Amen. So we need God and we need him in the center. Amen. You're with me still. Okay, the spokes, that's us as individuals. So that's you and me. These two spokes that joins here, that's myself and Karen. That's my spoke and that's Karen's, my wife's spoke. Okay, you see, we met each other along the way. But each of us are represented by a spoke on this particular bicycle. But now look at the interesting thing. As we move closer to God, the spokes get closer together. As we move away from the hub or God, we get further apart. Amen. And apparently, again, according to our expert, the vet, if this, one of these spokes gets broken off, the wheel is unbalanced. And you're not going to get very far with it. You can actually feel it when you're pedaling. So the wheel's going to start doing this. Did you know that? Well, I discovered that this week. But the part I want to focus on is the outside part of the wheel. So the rim and the tire of the wheel. Okay. So what is the purpose of the tire? The tire supports, right? So if you're going over a rough road, it eases the road. So in other words, it takes the bumps and the stones and the knocks that you get as you're driving. Otherwise, it's going to be a very hard ride. Now, the outer part of the wheel in my illustration here, that's us as a church corporately. So that's us as a church of God. Amen. We support one another. When the roads are rough, we support one another. Amen. And then the other part of the outside of the wheel is the rim. And you can see that all the spokes are connected to the rim. So we're all connected to the church. I'm speaking about the Christians here. We're all connected to the rim. And they tied in very nicely. And what happens is this rim actually serves a couple of purposes. It keeps us all together. But also, if imagine there was no rim or no tire, what will happen to the spokes if you drive on it? You will go nowhere. The spokes will break off, and it will basically come off from the hub. So that's how we, when we're accountable to one another, that's how we support one another as well. We keep each other in kilter, and we direct each other closer to God. Amen. So relationships are very important, especially inside of the church. I'm just going to put this down here. So the other thing that happened 2 weeks ago is I got a lot of comments and responses on the sermon, and in particular, a lot of people enjoyed my references to Christmas carols and my lines to Christmas carols. I actually got a WhatsApp as well with a recommendation of a Christmas carol I could have used and can use and stuff like that. So I thought this week, let me continue with that, seeing that some people enjoyed it. So there's a particular Christmas carol, and the line of the Christmas carol should come up. Faithful friends who are dear to us, gather near to us once more. From which Christmas carol is that? As I sing it for you. Faithful friends who are dear to us, gather near to us once more. Everybody say, have yourself a merry little Christmas. Now it comes back to you, eh? Amen. But look at the words. Again, going back to my point about the relationships is I hope that you're going to find time at this time of the year to be around faithful friends gathering near to you once more. Amen. And then there's another scripture that sort of ties this all together very nicely. It's Romans chapter 12, verse 10 through to 16. Let me just grab a sip of water. That's what happens when I sing. Romans 12, verse 10, it says, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourself. Never lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer, and then share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. This time of the year, we need to be practicing hospitality and sharing with those who are in need. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. So just to tie back and finish off the section under relationships, I just want to give you two words of advice or two encouragements this time of the year. The first one is you need to be intentional. Friendships don't happen automatically. Marriages don't work automatically. Relationships with kids doesn't work automatically. You have to make time and spend time with that person to make the relationship go. Now, if you look at words like in Romans 12 that we read now, there are words like be devoted, never lacking in zeal. That speaks about getting in there and doing it. It's not like I'll do it now and I'll do it again. Being devoted to something means you're doing it constantly. Amen. So that's what I want to encourage you to be intentional. Plan it. It's not going to happen automatically. If you meet someone, don't say, you know what? We should get together sometime. Let's say, what are you doing on Tuesday? Why don't you come over for some supper and come and join us? And that's the only way it's going to happen. It's not going to happen automatically. And the second point or encouragement I want to leave you with is that we need to look at expanding our relationships and to be inclusive. Again, looking at Romans 12, he says, associate with people of low position. Be hospitable. So in other words, associate with all. You'll notice on the bicycle, again, all the spokes are exactly the same size. They're all the same length. And that's how God sees us. He sees us all the same. Amen. Even though our positions may be different, even though our careers might be different, we're all the same. So we need to associate with one another, and we need to be inclusive and expand our friendship circles as well. And I know initially it can be a bit rocky, but eventually when you start spending more time with a person, it eventually grows. I go jogging twice, sometimes thrice a week. And I started off doing it for discovery points to get my 300 points so I can get my free milkshake and my free gift. But after doing it, it's been about a year now. After doing it for so long, I actually do it just when I finish my 5 kilometers, that feeling that I get when I finish that race, it's like, it's so awesome. Don't get me wrong, the milkshakes are awesome too. But the feeling I get after doing the 5 kilometers, it's just amazing. But I don't go run alone. I go and run with our husky. His name is Archie. So Archie and I, he goes with me. Now, if you know huskies, they are very energetic dogs, and they're big dogs. Now, I remember when I took him for his first run, it was a nightmare. Yeah. It was a nightmare. Karen tried it as well. She said to me, Alistair, I don't think I can take this dog for a walk because this dog takes me for a walk. So she gave me the responsibility, because I'm a bit bigger, to keep the dog. So the first run was crazy. I mean, we've just left the gate, and he was all over the place. If dogs were barking, he was pulling me to the dogs. If there were people walking past, he would like be up on the people, and a bird or a squirrel couldn't cross his path. In fact, it got so bad one day that I took him for a run, and as we were running, a squirrel ran across the street. And this dog saw the squirrel, and his instinct immediately was, I'm going to catch this thing. And there he was, and he pulled me. He literally dragged me on the gravel behind him. I was rolling like this. Scraped the whole half of my body as this dog was pulling me. And he wouldn't relent. He just went crazy. So that was the beginning of our relationship. A year later, I've got him well trained. Took a little bit of time. Initially, it was, no, you're not going there. Come this way. Then eventually it was, Archie, no. And I just do a light tug. Now I just got to do a tug. And he's on the path. Very obedient dog. But you know what? Relationship was rocky in the end. Now, my wife and my boys might not appreciate this comment, but I think that because I take him for the walks, he's got a special relationship and a bond with me. More so than the rest of my family. And I have to admit that I was the one person that kicked against the bucket when my family said, can we get a dog? I said, no. Because I was thinking, who's going to feed the dog? Who's going to walk the dog? Who's going to clean up after the dog? It's probably going to end up being me. So I was the one who was most reluctant. Eventually, they convinced me and we got the dog, and I'm so glad we got the dog because we like this now. Amen. The point of the story is obvious. It's, you know, you gotta have to make the time to work on the relationship. And I'm not saying you must speak to each other and order each other around, but the relationship eventually finds a good sink and you can build on that. Amen. But at the same time, you also need to be careful. This is a small disclaimer. Just be careful also with who you associate as well. Now, let me just give you a quote quickly. There's a quote. It should come up on the screen. It's not what's under the tree that matters, especially this time of the year, but who's gathered around it that matters. Hey? How many of us can honestly say that? Hey? Who's more keen on what's underneath that tree this time of the year? But yeah, it's who's gathered around us. So just be careful also who you associate with, because obviously you've got to ask yourself, is this person going to be a good influence on me? Is this person going to be a bad influence on me? And going back to what I spoke about 2 weeks ago about restraining yourself, this person needs to help you to follow God, to do the right thing. If the person is leading you off on a different path, like my dog did initially, you're not going to reach your destination. Amen. The second point I want to leave with you today is this: the season for reaching out. Now, when I'm talking about reaching out here, I'm not talking about door knocking and evangelizing per se. What I'm speaking about is as we go through this season, as you meet with your family, let our light shine. So light up the world as you go along through the festive season. How do we do that? Going back to Romans 12, in fact, that particular portion of scriptures gives us a lot of ways of doing that. The one is by being hospitable, we are lighting up the world. In other words, inviting people over. And if you are going out, taking someone else along as well. And you can reach out to people. If you've got a few Christian disciples getting together, invite someone from outside in. Let them join in with you, and there you can let your light shine in whatever you are doing. You can also let your light shine by being joyful in hope, patient in affliction, very important this time of the year, being very patient in affliction, and then faithful in prayer. And then by rejoicing with those who rejoice and mourning with those who mourn, you're letting your light shine. By helping those in need and doing good. Now, reaching out to the lost as well as those who are less fortunate than yourself, even as you go. So make the time to reach out to those people. It's a good time to actually go and visit the old age home. Go and visit the children that have no parents and have no gifts. Amen. What does our good King Solomon have to say about this? Ecclesiastes chapter 3, he says in verse 12, he says, I know that there's nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live. And this is King Solomon, the same King Solomon that we spoke about 2 weeks ago, that tried everything under the sun. He tried pleasure. He tried gathering money. He tried entertainment. He had his own entertainers. And he says, I know there's nothing better than what? Than being happy and then doing good while we live. Then Luke chapter 2 verse 14, we see there that the scripture says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Where does it come from? That's part of the nativity scene. That was when the angels came, spoke to the shepherds, And they broadcast this good news to the shepherds. And they said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. And what did the shepherds do when they heard this good news, when they saw this angel coming now? They were excited. And what did they do? They went along their way, and everybody that they came across, they proclaimed God's glory. They declared his peace, and they shared goodwill among all men. How amazing wouldn't it be if we as a church could take that message of this time of the year, that Christmas message, and go and share it as we go along with our families at our Christmas lunches, as we go along in the streets, as we meet friends in the mall as well. Amen. So, 'tis the season to reach out. Amen. Then my final point, which is quite an important one, and I left it for last specifically, is 'tis the season for reverencing God. Amen. Don't forget that. You'll notice that the message 2 weeks ago was all about myself, reflecting on my year, restraining myself, resting my body. Today we're speaking about everything outside ourselves. The first 2 points earlier on was reaching out to others. Relationships is about others. And the final one is about God. Amen. So 'tis the season for reverencing God. Again, let's turn to Ecclesiastes and see what our kings, our famous king, wise King Solomon, has to say about that. He says, although a wicked person who commits 100 crimes may live a long time, I know that it will go better with those who fear God and are reverent before him. Reverent before him. So reverence speaks of God's holiness, of worshiping God and just declaring that he's everything and I am nothing. And I don't think there's any, again, there's a lot of scriptures that speaks about reverence. And I've spent, in fact, I must have been studying out reverencing God, sanctification for the last year now, just looking at the scriptures. And the one portion of scripture that comes, stands out for me, that sort of encapsulates this whole thing, is Isaiah chapter 6. Now, we're not going to turn there. For those of you who don't know what happens in Isaiah 6, I'll give you quickly a brief description of what happens there. So Isaiah finds himself in the throne room of God. I'm sure you must have heard the scripture or read the scripture before. He stands there and he sees God high and enthroned and lifted up. And the train of God's robe fills the temple. And above the Lord, there are seraphim, or angelic beings, with 6 wings. With 2, they're closing their eyes. With the other 2, they're closing their feet. And with 2, they are flying. And there's many of them. And what are they declaring to one another? They're not declaring to God. They are saying to each other, what are they saying? They're saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is filled with his glory. Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is filled with his glory. And what happens when they say this? The thresholds of the doors start shaking. The room starts filling with smoke. There's power when they're declaring how holy God is. But the amazing thing is not the angels and God. It's for me, it's Isaiah's response to that. What does Isaiah say? The first thing that comes out of his mouth is, woe to me, I cried. I am ruined. I'm not broken, I'm ruined. I think the only thing worse than being ruined is probably being dead. He's ruined. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Amen. That's the first thing that happens. He sees God in his holiness, and he looks at himself and says, oh, I'm a sinful person. Who am I to be able to stand in the presence of God? That's me. That's God. That's what he sees. And I think often, especially this time of the year, we forget that. That our God is almighty, our God is holy, and he calls us to be holy as well. And we find it very easy to compromise this time of the year. Remember that we're serving a holy God, a mighty God. Hebrews chapter 12, we're nearing the end of the sermon now. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28, it says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably, with reverence and awe. Let's be thankful. As we come to the end of the year, let's be thankful to God for this kingdom that he's put us in that can't be shaken. And let's worship him acceptably with reverence and awe. I think of the wise men or the magi. am I pronouncing it correctly? It's Magi or Magi. Anyway, I think of them, and I think of them studying the star, and they're traveling from the east. Apparently, they traveled miles and miles following the star. Why? So that they can come before Jesus, the baby, and worship him with gifts, laying their gifts before him. You know, as I was reading that story in preparation for the sermon, I thought to myself, why is it that we give each other gifts on somebody else's birthday? Hey, have you thought about that? Why are we sharing gifts with one another when it's Jesus' birthday? What I want to suggest and encourage us to do is, we may not be able to give him physical gifts, but by serving him, by worshiping him, and by telling him how awesome he is, that's all gift that he wants, is our lives. Amen. So, one more reference to a Christmas carol, and I'm so glad we actually sang it this morning, and this is my last encouragement to you, is during the season, O come, let us adore him. Amen. Amen. So yeah, just in conclusion, guys, I'm going to run through those 6 points again. Let's, in preparation for this festive season, let's remember to reflect and look back at our year. Without reflection, there's going to be no growth into 2019. I'm not suggesting that you must make New Year's resolutions. But again, we started this year off with a sermon series, moving from here to there. If you want to go from here to there, whether it be in your career or your spiritual life, you need to reflect back and see how you can grow. Restrain ourselves this festive season from overindulging or overspending. And then find time to rest. Being busy is good. Again, going back to Ecclesiastes, King Solomon is not saying be lazy and do nothing. He's saying, yes, you need to work, but you also need to rest as well. And then let's invest in some good relationships within the church and outside the church. And at the same time, as we go along through this festive season, let's reach out to those who are lost or those who are less fortunate than ourselves. And don't forget, this is the season for us to reverence God and to tell him how awesome he is. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for this time of the year, God. We thank you that you allow us, as I've mentioned when I started praying, Father, that we have this opportunity just to unwind, to let our hair loose, and just to worship you, God. I pray that as the world celebrates Christmas, God, we won't forget the gift that you've given us through Jesus Christ. Let us also reverence him and tell him how awesome he is, Father. And help us at the same time to let our light shine to the world as we go along, Father God. Being holy as you have called us to be holy, Lord. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, church.